Good morning and welcome to The Greenhouse. I'm Prethvin Bilal.
And I'm Anna Snow. And I'm sorry to miss Taylor Swift, but we needed to start our show.
We do.
We do.
Yes, we had to skip through it. All right. Coming up on today's show, microplastics in the ocean.
Yes. In you.
Yeah. We talk about ways to make sure that you don't, how to avoid getting those.
Yes.
You know, they have adverse health effects.
But before that, we're going to talk about India and their record levels of bad air pollution.
Yes. So if you've ever been to India, great place, that's where I'm from. They are known for not having the greatest air quality already.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, the level of their pollution is extremely worse. And like when we're saying India's air pollution bad, it like is really saying it's bad. Air matter is filled with particulate matter in the sky and it's becoming very dark. As the New York Times put it in their descriptive language, the capital and nearby areas in recent days has turned the sky a muted gray.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if you can imagine that, but I feel like, you know, something out of the Industrial Revolution, something mm-hmm. out of like a scary book. Sort
of a movie or something, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
And 16 prominent cities had very poor air quality and 14 other cities have a severe classification. So this is
huge. And, you know, like it affects your health, it affects vision, stuff like that. It got so bad this year that on Friday in the capital city, which is known as Delhi, people like moved, you know, school children's classes online. Mm-hmm. Government officials were told to not come in. Outdoor activities were strongly discouraged. And, you know, that's, you know, extreme measures, especially in an economy where like, you know, people work so much, you know, I think like just overall mm-hmm. in a capitalistic world, you know, you get paid by work. But in India, especially, what's interesting, they work 6 days a week.
Oh, really?
Just to, you know, maximize productivity.
Okay.
So asking people not to come into work is like a huge,
big deal for them. Yeah. And it actually was so bad that NASA could see the air pollution from space, which is crazy.
Yeah. You can usually you can only like see storms or, you know, something like that. But air pollution is not great.
In 2019, so just 3 years ago, more Indians died than any other risk factor from the air pollution.
Yeah, which is, that's crazy. Like, you know,
and that's sad.
It's sad, too. And, you know, I think the only reason 2020 and 2021 didn't have those is because of COVID.
COVID. People were inside, so even if, you know, the air pollution was bad. I think that's probably why it's so bad this year in 2022, because there's probably 2 years of them.
Like low levels.
Low level. And then, but they also probably working less, working from home, less productivity just in general for these past 2 years.
Yeah.
So now they've really amped it up in this year to make up for those past 2 years. And it's just.
And I don't know this for sure, but I think I've seen, you know, places in like China where like mm-hmm. sometimes there's so much smog from like cars on the road that like there's only certain days you're allowed to use your car, and it's like based on your license plate.
Mm-hmm.
India, I think, I'm not too sure, but I believe they're one of these countries where like, you know, they try to like, they have to place massive restrictions because of like the number of people, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's one thing, you know, you hear a lot about this air pollution and stuff with China and India, but those are two of the most highly populated countries in the world, and especially in like the cities, there are so many people packed in there like so tightly, like they live really close, you know, and stuff. So that many cars on the road, it just
and they build up a lot. That's mm-hmm. how they're able to squeeze people in.
Yeah,
so it's like a fine line of how many people is too many, because, you know, we talk a lot about like urban planning well, and like it seems like the solution has always been like, you know, build walkable cities or build cities where it's like things are very close. But I think they packed too much in.
Yes, there's a fine line between that. And I mean, there's a point where no matter what you do, it's just overpopulated. And that's not saying I think we should get rid of people. Obviously, you can't do that. But I don't know, somehow to like redistribute where they live or something.
Better planning in or some better like, multi-use kind of areas.
Yeah, something.
And, you know, this is aside from just India, where it's, like, such a high number of people die from mm-hmm. air pollution. According to the World Health Organization, 7 million people die every year from air pollution.
Wow,
7
and that's
million. That's crazy.
That's
not around the world.
Around the world. Okay, that's not just India.
So that's crazy, yeah.
Okay.
You know, a lot of air pollution comes from, you know, the traditional means, you know,
mm-hmm.
coal, gasoline, wood, chemicals. They all create something called particulate matter, which, you mm-hmm. know, we've discussed before.
Yes.
It's just, you know, something that is very tiny particles that clog up the air.
Yes, they're very bad for anyone's lungs, but especially if you have asthma, and they also can increase your risk of having a stroke.
Yeah, so small particles sticking in. And when we talk about microplastic later, we're going to hit on, like, you know, how dangerous these small particles
are. Lots of small particles today.
Because you can't see them at all, which really sucks.
No. And so AQI measures air quality like this. So the scale is 0 to 50. You are in a good range, 51 to 100, moderate, 101 to 150, unhealthy for sensitive groups. 151 to 200 is unhealthy, and 201 to 300 is very unhealthy, and anything worse than that is considered hazardous.
Which is like you have to get out of there.
Yes.
So that's a scale.
Yes.
If you could guess, Anna, Phoenix.
Phoenix.
What would you say, you know, where do you think we stand?
I think we're generally around somewhere in the moderate range because there's a lot of dust in the air being in the desert. And I have seen on my weather app, occasionally, sometimes it'll say unhealthy for sensitive groups.
Apple does that a lot.
We're probably usually moderate, and then occasionally it pops up and it's unhealthy for sensitive groups.
Yeah. That would be reasonable during the summer months.
Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, we're in the valley and, like, you know, the air is not able to get out as much. In October and November, the air quality was between 20 and 30,
okay,
which is in the very good kind of section.
That's better than I thought it was. Okay, yeah. Proud of you, Phoenix. Good job.
But in India, this past measurement, it was a ridiculous number. It was 424.
That is insane because 300 is where hazardous starts. So this is 124 past hazardous.
Yeah. And like, so, I mean, you can't breathe normally. And you know something that's interesting? It's like normally, like, air quality is normally bad.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, you know, staying indoors as much as possible and, like, wearing masks is pretty prominent, actually.
Yes.
Like, I think in Asian countries like China
I've seen photos of, like, China and, like, photos of the street and, like, everyone has masks on. But they need it because the masks has the filters. You know, we learned about masks with COVID. And so it filters all those particles so they can. But I'm going to say if it's 424, that mask is not going to get all those particles.
Exactly. It's going to, like, you need to, like, do a ton.
Yeah.
You know, kind of stop it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason that's this happening now, that's being discovered now. And it's because of, like, a farming season. You know, India is, like, a huge agricultural country. And, you know, many other, you know, Asian countries are like that. So India is particularly prominent in rice. And rice season just ended.
Okay.
So now it's time to clear the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of sustainable ways to clear the fields. But unfortunately, India is not doing so. They're using something called crop burning. And, you know, crop burning is when you, like, set fire to all those vegetations.
Mm-hmm.
So usually crop burning can account for, like, 1% to 3%. Or, you know, sorry, agricultural, you know, waste can account for 1% to 3% of, you know, air pollution contributors, but this year during the autumn season in particular, when a lot more flame is set, 14% of air pollution can come from this.
And I mean, 14 might still sound low, but when you're talking about 14% of 424 or something like that, you know, it's still
a,
like, a significant chunk of that. Yeah, definitely.
And what's interesting is, you know, as the world evolves and we're, like, learning new ways to better farm, you know, through technology.
Yeah.
That's 14% right there that can be eliminated.
Yeah, that doesn't need to be there. And it's interesting that even with everything and with, you know, they're having kids not go to school and people not go to work and stuff, why they haven't thought to potentially, like, I don't know if the government could, like, ban crop burning because then people would have to find another solution or something. Or I'm not saying that they should do that, but I'm trying to just brainstorm things they could do because that 14% seems really unnecessary when there are sustainable ways to remove crops.
Exactly. I think some government in India is now declaring, like, a meeting on how to, like, you know, address it. But, you know, it's just a meeting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what could get done. And, you know, India politics is interesting. Right now, I was reading an article from the New York Times where people are refusing to accept responsibility. It's like, this is your fault, and this is your fault. You know, very similar to us.
Yeah.
Very similar to us in the U.S. But I don't know, like, how much our listeners know about, like, Indian politics, but interesting, at U.S. is one of the few countries that has a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
In other places, there's, like, six or seven parties.
Oh, wow, okay.
So there's, like, alliances. So that's why, even though this is, like, an environmental issue, it has turned into a politics issue. Which always never, you know, that's never a great start
never
to a sentence.
Never a great thing, you know. And, you know, and it's hard for me, you know, because I'm like, why would you not care about the, no matter what you think politically about everything else, why would you not want the earth to be clean? Survive, like, why would you, don't you want to be here? Like,
And I think people may not start, just as an overall general trend, people may not think about it until it starts affecting them in a way.
Yeah.
That's something, you know.
Well, if you live in India, this is certainly affecting you.
Yeah. Back to, you know, their rice production.
Yeah.
So they make 124 million metric tons.
That's a lot of rice.
And this is according to Statista. And they had like a little bar graph from 2010.
Yeah.
And every year it kept going up. So 124. Well, oh, sorry.
I was going to say, as the population increases, you know, they need more food. So
that's true. And, you know, COVID had an implication with like they exported, I'm guessing, a lot more. You know, as supply chain stuff happened.
Yeah.
So it's been increasing a lot. You know, so we talked about, you know, the difficulties of crop burning.
Yes.
And like what it is. But, you know, there's a reason, I guess, people do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they want to, like, you know, some of the benefits. It does have its benefits.
Okay. Let's hear it.
To remove weeds, prevent diseases, control pests.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's other stuff that do it, but crop burning does it in like an efficient manner.
Okay.
You can just like set fire and like go to work.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, other methods require like a lot more labor, a lot more investment.
Yeah.
And in some, I think we're talking in some farms where, you know, money may be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Technology may not have made its way down there.
Yeah.
They have to burn.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, we were talking about like, you know, sustainable solutions.
Yes.
California has one of these ways.
Well, I would imagine California would need to, because I think with how many wildfires there are, I feel like you wouldn't want to start any fires that could potentially spread or start
fires
anything.
Fires only when it's necessary.
Yes. I mean, one came from a gender reveal party.
That was so bad, too. It was one of the worst ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like California, if there's a reason to not start a fire, they're going to take
it. In California.
Yeah.
So they allow fires, but you have to have a permit to do so. And you also have to have approval on like the day. There's something called permissive burn days.
Okay.
And basically the government, or you know, a governing agency allows you to burn on certain days based on like meteorological conditions and like making sure wind is not too high and, you know, the science really behind
it. Yeah. Has the department on call.
They're controlling it in some way. We're like, if you have to burn, at least try to limit it. And I think that could be a solution that India could take.
Honestly, making it harder to actually do the burn might discourage a lot of people. Be like, oh, that's too much work. I'll just do something else.
Way.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other ways, you know, to get rid of crops.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing they burn, maybe they can like filter, like pick it up and, you know, send it somewhere else.
I would think there's got to be some way for some sort of tractor or truck to come through and dig up.
Yeah, or like a plow almost, and it's like scraping stuff.
Because you have to get it, the root, all the way out. You know, you can't just chop
stuff down. And
yeah.
I mean, maybe you can't do the trailer because then you're like eroding the soil. Farming is a really interesting thing.
But then tractors use gas also, so that would potentially create something else.
But it's better than fires.
But it's better than fire. So, you know, I feel like there's got to be some way.
There's something called a biomass burning facility.
Okay.
And I don't know, but I bet there's a way you could turn that into like electricity or something.
Something, yeah.
So there's greener ways. It just requires a lot of investment. And, you know, in a nation, like, or more than a nation, in a world that's hurting with inflation, not only the U.S., but I know Britain's hurting with inflation, and I bet a lot of other countries are.
Yeah.
I don't know how you got that investment.
Yeah. I don't know.
Locally in Phoenix, you know, there's simple ways, you know, to provide air quality. It's more than not setting off flames and open flames. You can, you know, take public transportation, which, you know, people always talk about, but it's a proven
method. Take the light rail.
Take the light rail. Reduce your electricity use and just limit chemicals in some way.
Yes.
So, you know, air pollution, it could be getting better. And, you know, there's some, like, you know, older methods that with more research we're finding ways to solve.
Yes.
Coming up next, microplastics in the ocean. They're in a lot more places than you think.
A lot of places you don't want them. Yes.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Greenhouse on Blaze Radio and blazeradioonline.com.
Welcome back to The Greenhouse. I'm Anna Snow.
And I'm Pratham Bawal.
And we're about to talk about microplastics in the ocean, in you, all the places we don't want them.
Exactly. So, recap a definition of a microplastic.
What is a microplastic?
Anything that is less than 2 inches in diameter. And I think it can be even worse. It can be as tiny as 0.05 yes. millimeters.
Yes. So they're most of them are closer to that 0.05. You can't see most of them with the human eye.
Yeah. And the reason these form is, I guess, as you probably thought about in the name microplastics, is when plastics break down over time.
But they don't really break down. So
they just get smaller so you can see them.
This is so crazy to me. Every piece of plastic that has ever been created in the history of the world since the late 1800s when plastic was invented still exists on this planet in some form. Because plastic takes thousands of years. And
we haven't hit that yet.
We haven't even, I don't even think we've hit 200, you know. But when you think it's breaking down, it's actually just getting tinier. It's getting broken, but it's not like biodegrading or anything like that. So that's where you get these tiny little plastics. And they are tiny, but a huge, huge problem.
Yeah. According to Kyushu University, microplastics are a huge part of the ocean. The number, 24.4 trillion pieces of plastic in the ocean. In terms of weight, that's between 82,000 and 578,000 tons of that.
Yes. And then little fish come and they eat the microplastics because they think it's like, especially a lot of fish rely on very tiny organisms and plankton and stuff. And so the microplastic just gets mixed in with all this little tiny stuff that they're eating. And it can really negatively affect their gastrointestinal tract.
Yeah. You know, like, it's also possible, like, you know, we can't see it. They can't see it either.
Yeah,
they're just
exactly.
thinking they're eating, they're just drinking water, you know, swimming in the water.
Exactly.
But, it's touching them. It's affecting, you know, their internal systems. It has toxic chemicals, which, you know, you feel bad for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you need even more reason to care about
this. If you don't care about the lives of fish,
you can care about the lives of yourself.
The lives of you, yes.
And if you're eating fish, these are ending up in you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's this thing called biomagnification in the science world, where it's like, you know, nutrients accumulate over time.
Yeah.
As they like move up food chains.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up in you. And Anna had actually an interesting study.
Yes. So the main thing that microplastics will affect in the human body is your endocrine system, which is so all of your hormones. It can cause infertility in both men and women because it blocks the receptors for estrogen and testosterone because the microplastics are often about the same size as like the hormone chemical. It can also increase your risk of getting type 2 diabetes because insulin is another hormone that it affects. It can cause heart disease and lots of just things you don't want to happen.
Yeah. I think this is the same way like antidepressant medicines work where they block certain neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
Microplastics do the same kind of technology, I guess you can call it, in a way where it's affecting your system.
Yes.
To Anna's point, like how long microplastics have existed, a breakdown from the University of Nottingham. I'm finding all these new universities in my research. 9% of the plastics ever created in the world have been recycled. 12% have been incinerated, which is like setting
fire. Burn.
80% continue to sit in landfills.
Yeah.
And you know, nothing ever stays in landfills forever. Like they go away somewhere.
Yeah.
They accidentally end up in the ocean or, you know, they fly away with wind.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. And that's how you end up with stuff like, you know, just floating piles of plastics in the ocean.
Yeah.
You've heard of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something that Anna and I learned for the first time today, that's not the only one. There's actually five around the world, which include two more in the Atlantic, two in the Pacific, and one in the Indian Ocean. Huge chunks of garbage
plastic
that just float around. And, you know, this is how the microplastics decompose. They're just sitting. And then, you know, their particles release affecting the fish and end up affecting you.
Yes. And another way that they can end up in you is not necessarily only from fish and other animals you might be consuming, but they also are in a lot of packaging and herbicides and things. So, like, BPA is a really big one, which is why you will often see plastic water bottles labeled BPA-free because they're made without that. But BPA, it can, like, basically your water can, like, absorb it, and then you're drinking it, and then that's when all of those infertility and diabetes and things can start happening. And I found this number that was, like, crazy to me. But the average person in the United States may consume over 50,000 particles of microplastic from food alone per year. So that includes food you're eating and then lots of packaging.
Lots of packaging.
But this figure increases to an estimated 90,000 if you regularly use plastic water bottles, as in like when you buy like a case of water bottles, not like a reusable plastic. Like, and that number increases to 120,000 when you're considering the inhalation of microplastics from non-food. So breathing it in, because they're in the air too.
Yeah.
That's part of the air pollution.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my.
They're in the air.
Anne and I were talking about like, you know, plastic water bottles earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, as kids, we were raised to like never use plastic water bottles more than once. Use it once and then
yes,
toss it away.
And toss it. And if you leave it in the car or outside, you do not drink it, because one of the things that releases that BPA
is heat,
but then also constant reuse of something that's not made to be reused, it breaks it down. So don't do that. If you have to use a plastic water bottle, which we recommend a reusable water bottle here at the greenhouse.
Yeah.
but if you have to use a plastic water bottle, don't be filling it up and don't abandon it somewhere in the heat if you plan on drinking more of it.
Exactly. And like, use it only once or twice if you do have to reuse it, because, you know, it's a plastic balls are designed as a single use plastic.
Yeah.
So they're not even built well to begin with. And even a regular plastic ball might be like a little hard to do.
And look for, because yes, they are mainly in those single use plastic water bottles, but some other plastic also has BPA in it. So if I have a metal water bottle and I really like that. But if you are getting a plastic reusable one, make sure you get one that's BPA free. But that's, again, that's not the only thing. A lot of herbicides. So that would be on your produce and stuff can have microplastics in them. Paper bleaching. So if you have, if you're using paper plates or paper towels and stuff that comes into contact with your food, could potentially, you know,
microplastics. It sucks that there's all these like different kind of ways. Cause I was telling Anna earlier, they're like, oh, you know what? We're both vegetarian. We don't really eat seafood. So, like, oh, there's no way we should be getting microplastics in our food.
No, but we're definitely like, getting microplastics.
All these, like, different contamination strategies.
It's also in a lot of beauty products. Like, you should always steer clear of any of those face washes or scrubs or anything that have the little beads in them. Like, you can see them. Those are made of plastic.
Wow.
And they're also really, because they're plastic, they're really harsh on your skin anyway. So even if they weren't microplastics that are now just going to get washed down the drain when you rinse your face, they're bad for you. So they create micro abrasions in your skin.
Wow. Does that help with face?
If you're supposed to be exfoliating and getting rid of the dead skin, but they do more than that. They cause little abrasions, and then you're more likely to start getting acne and stuff, because then debris and stuff can get, like, into your skin through those little abrasions.
Okay, interesting.
Not super environmentally related, but there's your little skincare fact of the day, I guess.
I mean, no, this is delivering practical solutions.
Yeah, so if the environment isn't the reason you want to stop using those products, maybe your own skin.
And, you know, this is, we're talking about beauty products. The UN is looking to do something about this.
Okay.
In 2017, the UN launched a resolution, as they often do.
Yes.
It's called the Clean Seas Campaign. It was released by their environmental program, I guess. They wanted to clean up trash overall, like, you know, stuff like cigarette butts from ending up in the sea.
I tell people not to throw the cigarette butts on the ground because they're like, you know, they don't think of it as littering.
Yeah, and that's weird. Yeah, we need to educate them. It feels weird, like, especially if you're, like, in the middle of somewhere, like, you know, a landlocked state.
Mm-hmm.
How does it end up in the water? Like, the drains, yeah, I know in, like, coastal cities, drains can go to the ocean.
Yeah.
But where do drains from, like, Arkansas go, right?
All, you said Arkansas. I'm going to Arkansas for Thanksgiving.
That's how I thought about it.
Arizona is also a landlocked state.
Yeah, but Arkansas. Let's just say Arkansas.
Well, all water eventually leads to the ocean in some capacity.
Yeah.
So even if you are in a state that does not have any coastlines,
it eventually leads there.
Rivers, even streams and stuff, all water eventually leads to the ocean.
Yeah.
So.
And I think sometimes people have a hard time seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, yeah, getting them to understand.
Because even if it's like a lake that is surrounded by land, there's like underground, there's connections, there's ways. I don't fully understand all of it, but they taught us that in oceanography.
Yeah.
And whether you understand it or not, that is a fact, that like all water leads to the ocean.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the overall solution as we wrap up here is that, like, you know, find a way to use less plastics because that's really the only way that this can be stopped. I don't really think there's a way to, like, clean up the microplastics other than, like, the ones that are currently existing.
Yeah.
Keep them
safe. I don't think there's a way to get rid of the microplastics that are currently in the ocean, in our food, everywhere. But you can reduce the use of plastic as a whole. You can stop using products that have microplastics, you know, like the face wash, like the disposable water bottles, you know. Just overall limiting that. And at this point, microplastics aren't going away, but you can, I think, do things to limit the intake.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us on The Greenhouse. I'm Pratham Bilal.
And I'm Anna Snow. And join us next week for all things Planet Earth.
Have a great day. Bye.